Welcome to the 99 Relapses Podcast. Are you struggling with addiction? Do you need inspiration, education, and empowerment? Online Christian recovery coach and counselor, James Egidio, is here for you. Join him as he helps listeners journey through addiction and recovery by avoiding relapse through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are not alone. With 32 years of sobriety under his belt, our host is ready to walk with you. Let's get started. Here is James Egidio.
Egidio, your host of the 99 Relapses podcast, the podcast that moves you from recovery to discovery through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this episode, my guest back in 2006 was struggling with alcohol addiction and found himself on the floor in his apartment with no hope and nowhere to turn. By 2012, he came to the Lord and out of his addiction. 12 years later, he has a ministry leading people to the Lord that are struggling with addiction. Without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest, Mr. Vernon Lane. Hi, Vernon. How are you today?
How you doing, Jay? I'm doing great, and I appreciate the invite, man. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely, and I'm blessed to have you on the show. Just share with the audience of the 99 Relapses podcast, both the listeners and the viewers, your story and what led you to Jesus Christ through your addiction, and we'll go from there.
Okay, no problem. Yeah, like you said, my name is Vernell, podcast, That Christian in Recovery. And it started way back. It started way back when I first had my first drink. I had to be like, what? I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years old. My older brother gave me a sip of MD 2020 or Wild Eyes Rose or something like that. And I just remember I was young. It was warm. But that was my first taste of alcohol. And grew up, I'm the youngest. And I got five brothers, one sister, a couple of them passed away now, but grew up single parent, things like that. And I was youngest, by me being the youngest, I was more like I strived a lot. I did a lot of striving. I was excelled in sports. I excelled in academics. And looking back, now a lot of this that I'll be sharing is because I have done some work on myself. In the meantime, doing those trials and doing those times, I didn't know that I suffer from wanting people to like me, get attention, because what was taking place, even though God had given me the ability to play sports, he had given me the skill to learn fast, it was the when people say things like, everything this boy touched turns to gold. I used to hear things like that. Right. You're an exception to the rule. It made me feel a certain way. Again, that was just, the thing was just real easy for me to grasp, right? Mm-hmm. So with that being said, I found myself coming up young. I was downplaying my natural skills to fit in because my mother told me, she said twice, I thought it was once, she said twice, they wanted to move me up in class. And I asked her, I said, why didn't you let them move me up? She said, because I didn't want you to get the big head. But there was a praising that I was getting addicted to now. Again, when I talk about addiction, I'm really not talking about drugs. I'm just talking about addiction. But we're going to talk about some drugs, my struggle with it. But I suffer from addiction, right? So my first addiction was attention. I wanted you to praise me because there was a certain feeling when older guys praised me. There was a certain feeling that it made me feel good. And we say in recovery, all addicts really want to do was to feel good about themselves. That's the main thing we really want to do. We just want to be all right with us. So I was always excelling sports and things like that. But by the same token, even though my mother was raising me, do the right thing. My sisters tell me things like, don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. There's a will, there's a way. So they was putting that foundation in me. But it was something that attracted me to the streets. Something about the streets. I don't really know what it was, just something about them, but probably because of my environment. And you have to survive, right? Yeah, you have to survive your environment. And so I learned a lot of mannerisms, right? A lot of extreme mannerisms and how to survival skills. That's really, looking back, that's really what it was. So I'm going to get you before you get me type. And it comes with just growing up in the hood. Just come with it. Yeah, either you get it got or you get be the one that doing the getting. So even though I wanted things out of life, I still was wanted people to like me. See, that was a time, James, that when older guys offered me drinking drugs, I didn't want nothing to do with it. So I still remember that. Yeah, I remember. Right. I said, no, that's for losers. But then it came a time I found myself feeling like an outsider. See, I feel when I was excelling and when I was doing good in class and things like that, it made me feel different and feel a part of. Teachers would say things like this, James. Who know the answer to this question? Vernon, we know you do. You don't have to answer. And see, now everybody looking at me a certain way. When we outside in class, teacher, you come and be the leader. I'm a natural leader, okay? I always have been a natural leader. Teachers would say, come get in front of the class. Again, that separated me, but I wanted to feel part of, so I started doing the things that they did. They was doing. I remember my mother told me one time, I didn't even know she knew I was getting high. But I was leaving the home one time and she said, they used to respect you. Yeah. And I said, Ma, what you talking about? She said, your friends used to respect you. Mm-hmm. Ma, let me tell you something. If there's anything, they're going to respect me. She said, no, they don't respect you no more. I said, why you say that? She said, because you're doing the same thing that they doing.
And how old were you when this was all going on?
That right there, that was around about, I was about 14, 15 years old during that time. Yeah. I was just getting to marijuana, that type deal.
Oh, okay. All right. So it started with the alcohol at 10, 11 years old?
Yeah, that's when I had my first shot. Yeah, but I really started about seventh grade, I really started drinking more regularly in the seventh grade, about 12, 13.
Mm-hmm. And then it led to marijuana at what, 13, 14 years old, you're saying?
Yeah, around something like that. I want to be cool. I want to fit in. Thinking I'm doing it for fun. Thinking that I'm doing it to fit in. But it's really something deeper than that. Validation type of deal. Sure. Esteem issues. Yeah.
So at what point was it out of control? And at what age was it out of control for you as far as the addiction with both the marijuana and the alcohol?
Oh, it came years later. I was one of those what they call function addicts.
One of
those type. Yeah. In the beginning, I went to class. I got good grades. Mm-hmm. I went home. I cleaned up my room. I did my homework. I did everything Mom expected me to do. Okay, but then again, there was something inside me said, "Now I deserve a reward." So now I go out and drink. But it got out of control when in my first marriage. That's when it really got out of control. I was married 16 years to my first wife, and I was drinking almost every day. And she used to ask me, why you always get drunk when you drink? And I told her, I said, there's no reason to drink if I can't get drunk. That was just my thought process. And she tried her best, and it just got to a point that was enough. But that's where it got out of control. Till I started dipping into other drugs and things like that. And then that's when it spiraled out of control. Then when she finally said enough, okay, and she finally put me out in 04, that's when I hit bottom. Because, see, now there's no foundation there, okay? What I mean by there's no identity. I didn't know who I was.
Sure.
Yeah, I didn't know who I was.
How old were you when you got married to your the first time, and what drugs, because you mentioned other drugs, what other drugs were they, and how old were you when you got married and when this all kind of went out of control?
I think I was 25 when I first got married.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and you said other drugs. What did you indulge in?
I messed with a little heroin, crack. I did speed just once, but it was mainly just crack and heroin. Yeah.
And how long did that go on?
That went on for a very long time. It kept spiraling out of control. It just kept progressing. I couldn't control that. I was trying to, but once you mess with those type of drugs, now the whole bottom fall out, right? Sure. The whole life just spirals out of control. There was really nothing she could do. There's nothing nobody can do. So I had to hit bottom. So finally, she had enough was enough. And like I said, she put me out. But see, my mind said, now I could do more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. When she put me out, I said, I can do more now. I don't have to sneak no more. I can do it on my own. I got my own apartment. But see, what I didn't know that when you're doing drugs on your own, you're going to be hearing stuff that's not there. You're going to be paranoid. And in fact, too, I just couldn't take the fact that I had got to that point in my life. And see, I couldn't accept reality. First part of recovery, you got to know how to accept reality.
Sure.
I went deep into denial. I had my own apartment. I couldn't stay there because the reason why I couldn't stay there, because it represented reality. So I stayed in the streets. It represented reality. So I stayed in the streets. And that's when you were talking about me being on the floor. That's where that took place at during that time.
Right.
That's when, but see, I remember my mother had told me years ago. But my mother always been a Christian. Okay, she ain't always been. Majority of my life, she was a Christian. She always told me, she said, no matter what you do, no matter what you're going through, okay, she said, you can always call on him and he going to hear you.
Amen. You know? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I remember that. And that's when I said, God help me. I had been using drugs 3 or 4 days when I finally did. I went to the bathroom. And I looked in the mirror. I didn't even know who I was.
Yeah.
Cheekbone was showing. I seen my collarbones. My whole big patch of my, this was white and my eyes were popping out. I was like a zombie. Yeah. And I fell asleep. I slept about 2 days.
Jeez.
And then when I woke up, I woke up and God had already had it in the making to save me. Looking back and how it was, what it was, he had a coworker. He had a coworker, a contractor. See, we don't call other people that struggle. We don't say that's an addict. We don't do that in recovery. It's up to them to say they're an addict. But we know the behaviors. And he knew the behaviors that I had, so he reached out to me. And as he reached out to me, I kept saying, this divorce I'm going through. He said, this divorce I'm going through, it's too much. Because, again, I'm in denial. Denial. There's a reason why she split you out. See, I couldn't talk about that in the beginning because I was in denial. Yeah, sure. This guy, he ended up reaching out to me, but he never gave me money. He never gave me money.
Right.
Ran out of gas. He'd say, I'll come put some gas in your car. I back down smoking cigarettes. I want cigarettes. He said, I come back. Wanted food. He said, I come back, but he never gave me money. The years go on. And now I'm thinking this is a guy I could take advantage of. My addiction is full blown now. I don't care no more. I don't care about nothing. I totally surrendered to addiction. I didn't care about nothing. I didn't care about my kids, the job. He was saying they're going to get rid of you. I wasn't coming to work. I said, let them fire me. I don't care.
Yeah. So this was all back in 2000 and what, between 2004 and 2006, correct?
Yeah, it was around that time. Yeah.
So you started 10 years old, 11 years old with the drinking a little bit, the influences, then it leads into the marijuana, heroin, cocaine, and everything else. And then you get married and you find yourself at 2006 on the floor in this apartment. I think we had that discussion. And then what happens after that? 2006, you says there was a turning point where you just said enough was enough. And I even read that where you said enough was enough. So take us forward into what led you into the Lord and through your recovery and where you're at today.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No problem. Yeah. Like I said, God had put him in place. I didn't know he was in recovery. So I didn't know this, right? But he knew my behaviors. He started being friends with me. He got to know my mother and everything. Then he finally introduced me to a 12-step program. He said, come on over here. Because what happened was I ended up going to the Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where I met God at. I met God in Salvation. Even though my mother used to always talk, but my personal relationship, that's where I met him at. That's where I actually felt his prayer. And this addict took me there. I only had a bag. That's all I had. Took me there. And every night, I cried every night. Every night, I cried. They called me the crying addict. Yeah.
And what year was that?
I think that was about 05, something like that.
Okay.
05.
All right.
Yeah.
So what happens after that? You go to the Salvation Army. This gentleman who had an issue with addiction takes you there. You go through the program. And then what happens?
Okay. What happened first time? I went in there twice. First time I was in there 4.5 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I was in a relationship. Now my wife now with some other girl. And my whole recovery was around her. Okay. And what I mean by that, I was in there, but I wasn't going to no meetings. When they let us go, I wasn't going to no meetings. I wasn't doing none of that. But I was just trying to make my recovery around her. Didn't know that I'm recovering from. I think I need a woman. Yeah, I got to tell you the story about what. I also got to tell you what I'm recovering from. See, so even though I'm in there for drugs, right, the woman took me off of my primary purpose because I have this thing called addiction. I get attached to people, right? And so now I used to be attached to my first wife. She let me go. Now I latched onto this girl, this other girl. Okay. Now I'm latched onto her, but even though I'm in treatment for drug addiction, but now I think my recovery is around her. So now, so basically what I'm saying, I'm in a, but I'm not recovering. Okay. Right. I'm not recovering.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's interesting you say that too, because I was reading on your website, and again, it's that ChristianInRecovery.com, and that's also the name of your podcast. And you talk about the same thing that I actually talk about a lot in episodes of the 99 Relapses podcast. And that's, we're all addicted to something. It's part of our sin nature. We can't get away from it, whether it's work, drugs, alcohol. Again, like you said, codependency, because you were in this rehab center thinking you're fixing yourself from the drugs, the chemicals, but yet you're addicted to your ex and you're codependent on her and you're fixated on her. And that's what we call in faith idolatry, or when we covet something or we idolize something, whether it's, again, work, drugs, alcohol, it could be a sports team. It could be anything and everything that you can think of that you would think is ridiculous, but these are all addictions and it's part of our sin nature. And I think that's why it's so important, going back to what you were saying about this whole thing of being able to get through addiction on your own. You can't do it. We can't. It's just impossible. The only way you can get through your addiction and overcome it is through the grace and mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and digging your heels into the Word. And that's for everyone and anyone. But it's so important that when someone is struggling with an out of control addiction or even any addiction and realize that everybody's addicted to something, that we have to lean on God. It's that simple, period.
It is that simple. Yeah, because He's the power that's greater than that addiction.
Absolutely.
And then He worked through people. He worked through you. All these 12-step programs. God is in the mix of them things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. We need each other. Like you said, I was suffering from things. I ain't have no clue. I ain't know nothing about no codependent. I know nothing about that. All I knew is that I like this girl. She making me feel good. But what happened was she said we needed a break. That's what she said. We need a break. She said, we're not breaking up, but we need a break. And she wrote me a letter. And the letter said, it was about 5 pages long. And all it read was, James, we are not breaking up. We are not breaking up. We are not. That's all she wrote. Right.
Yeah.
I read it. I read every last one of them. I go back to the Salvation Army. Now I have nothing again. Now, remember, I don't know how to stand on my own. My ex-person, you got real, I'm recovering from mothers, okay? What I'm saying is I had my first son, 16, okay? I grew up without a father. So I moved in with her, feared that my son, my oldest son, was going to grow up without a father. I didn't move in with her to be with her. I was moved in her out of fear of my son going to grow up without a father. But now I'm with her. Okay, that didn't work out. Then I met my first wife. Then I jumped on to her. Then in between women, I go back to my mother. So I'm recovering from jumping from mother to mother. I'm always, I don't know nothing about standing on my own. Okay. So now I get scared. And now when you're scared and you stress, what you do, especially if you're an addict, you go what you do, what you normally do. You're again, I had no recovery on me. I don't know about no spa. I mean, I heard about them, but I ain't never used them. So when she said that, I go back to Salvation Army. Then my brother called me and said, you got a check over here at my house. So now I got no foundation and I got a check. Then I told the guys and I walking around. It's a weekend. Now I can't go to her and I don't know where to go. I got this money. I got this desire. And I told them guys, I said, look, I'm buying a pizza for everybody here. They said, what? I said, man, I got what? Get the order. Right? Because I was allowed to leave the facility. I went and got a pizza, man. Then 5 months later, I came back.
Trying to do it on your own again, right?
Yeah, trying to do it on my own, but really wasn't into recovery like that. I just wanted the pain to stop. I just wanted my life back. I wanted my ex-wife, my kids. I didn't want no recovery. I didn't want to stop using no drugs. I just wanted my family back to feel a little normal, back in my home. What I'm doing in this dorm with all these guys, I need to be at home in my own house. Niall.
Yeah. 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 It's interesting you say that. I just finished a 4-part series. I'm actually posting it to the website now. It's called The Addicted Brain Structure and Function, and it's exactly what it is. Our brain operates on a portion of the brain called the limbic system, and we all react that way. And that's what leads to our addictions. And I, when I say addictions, again, I'm not just alluding to drugs and alcohol. I'm alluding to everything. And we get fixated on these addictions because they bring comfort to us. So when we react and gravitate towards those addictions, it's because we want to ease that pain. You've heard the expression where someone says, I drink to ease the pain, or I smoke weed to ease the pain. That pain is not physical pain. It's the pain of easing that pain of anxiety and stress that's on the brain. And I think once people understand the basics of that and how the brain operates, especially the addicted brain operates, then they can have a better grasp to wrap their head around, figuratively speaking, how addiction works and how we react. But also, and another thing I mention a lot in podcast episodes is that when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy. So I say, this is how we have to look at it. Anytime we have those drinks to get drunk or smoke the weed to relieve the stress or do the drugs or look at that pornography, what we're doing in that case is we're defiling the Holy Spirit that's indwelt within us. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what we have to keep in mind. And again, that's why it's so important that when you get through addiction, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's important that we're in faith and we stay in faith and we stay tethered to the word and we understand it and we apply it and we apply it to our addiction. So anyway, getting back to you, this is now Salvation Army. You go back again for the second time and we fast forward to, let's say, the time when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you're fully committed. What year is that? And where do we go from here?
I don't know exactly what year it was, to be honest with you. But I know me and my wife today, we got baptized together. Okay. Mm-hmm. We could have been like 08, something when we got baptized. Mm-hmm. See, I met her in recovery. Okay. I met my wife and my wife now. I met her in recovery. And the thing is, when I met her, I was headed back to the Salvation Army. And I said, I was going to do something different. I said, look, no, I know we can be kicking, but my recovery must come first, you know. And so I had a different mindset then, but I still struggled. I still struggled because I didn't want to surrender to recovery. I just didn't want to. I thought I was smart. Remember now when I went back, I said I caught on real fast. I catch on, I learn real fast. So I thought I can do that with recovery. I tried my best. So I kept going in and out recovery. I kept going in and out trying them, and it just didn't work. But when I did get baptized, right, soon as I stepped out of there, we had me and my wife, we leaving. She wasn't my wife at the time, but she's my girl. We leaving the church. And I told her, I said, look, Call the dope boy. She said, we on church. We on the church. Right? Now, if you remember, when Jesus got baptized, what they say? The Bible talks about, he was led to be tempted. Right? Mm-hmm. So that thing is real. This ain't things that just in the Bible. When you give your life to the Lord, the devil really coming after you.
Oh,
he jumped on me right then and there. And so basically, I kept going in and out. And then that was just my process. My process, I have a sponsor. Then whenever they ask me to look at me, I let them go. I said, nah, he's not for me. I keep trying to tell these guys what's going on. See, I thought I was smart enough to tell guys in recovery what recovery is, right? And I just didn't want to help because I never, ever looked at me until right. I got to recovery. Then right. finally, I had a sponsor for 7 years, and he told me, he said, yeah, I sponsor you. He said, but here's the deal. All the other sponsors you had, it wasn't their fault. And he had me look at me. He said, share what you're feeling, share what you think, and share what you want to do. Talk about you. I want to hear about, because I used to talk about my wife all the time to him. My mm-hmm. wife, he said, he'd tell me, he said, here's the deal. Call me back when you're ready to talk about you. I don't sponsor Nicole. That's my wife today now. But he said, I don't sponsor Nicole. I sponsor you. So when you're ready to talk about you, call me back. See, now this is a whole recovery, a whole different thing now. Now, okay, so now I'm in recovery, and I'm also having this relationship with Christ.
Right.
And Christ is telling me to die to self. This sinful nature has to go. I can't hold on to this sinful nature. I really want to get in tune. So now I'm reading the word. I'm getting the word in me. The Holy Spirit is in me. I'm hearing. I'm conscious. I'm hearing God speak to me. My wife already told me way back when I first met her, what, 06, 07. This is what she told me. She said, you're going to either be a pastor, a motivated speaker, but you're going to be helping a lot of people. She told me way back that
thing. Nice. Beautiful.
And today I'm actually doing that. And she, she said, I knew that's what you'd be doing. And it's crazy, man. But yeah, then she introduced me to a pastor. Okay.
Sure.
Was jumping from church to church, and I was trying to find a home. So I prayed about it.
Right.
So one day, my wife and I, we out for dinner, and out of nowhere, she said, I want you to meet this pastor. So she goes, and we're driving home. We go to the church and sitting in a lot, and she's telling me about this pastor, man, that he's this, and he's a good teacher, and that I want you to meet him. And I'm sitting there. It's kind of weird that we're sitting in these people's lot like this. You know, I agree to meet him. Now, when I met him, and then after the service, he said, I can feel your spirit. And today, mm-hmm. me and him is just like this. But yeah, and he had me up on the stage. And he had me sharing my story a lot of times. And I've blessed a lot of people in the church. And but where I'm at today has a lot to do with my wife and my pastor. Again, God working through people. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful. So, that Christian recovery, when did you start that? What was the starting point of your ministry of coaching addicted individuals and bringing them to Christ? When did that all start?
Oh, that started, let me see, that Christian recovery, I said about the idea about 3 or 4 years ago. Again, I was on a Christian Facebook page. Okay. This is a regular Facebook Christian page. And I said, mm-hmm. introduce myself. My name is Vernon. I'm an addict.
Right.
And then one person said, no, you're not an addict. You're an overcomer. You have the right. blood of Jesus. I said, okay. And I'm an addict.
Okay.
And then what happened, they kept coming in. Now I'm reading mm-hmm. their pastors, elder. And now they were speaking real good. Then they started kind of like attacking me. Because I kept saying, okay, I know I'm saved. And I know everybody's blood. But I'm an addict too. And I said, read why I called myself. And I had to explain to them.
Right.
I said, because all I'm saying is I'm a sinner. That's right. really what I'm telling you.
Sure.
Okay? I know I'm a sinner. I'm covered by blood, but I know I'm capable. And sometimes my sinful nature can win. That's why I pray every day. That's why I right. talk to pastors. That's why I have all these friends that's in recovery and, you know, into the Christian. Because I know who I am.
Right.
And that's how I came up with the name That Christian in Recovery. I was trying to tell them, look, I'm that Christian that you see that act crazy in the Bible. I'm capable of doing all that. And I'm trying to explain this to them. I can act impulsively. I can have low self-esteem. I can admire a woman. You read the Bible. Oh, that's inside the Bible. I'm capable of doing everything. I'm capable of cutting your ear off, but I ain't saying I'm going to do it. And they just didn't want to hear that. Yeah, but that's how I came up with that name, That Christian in Recovery. And I heard my spirit say, start a podcast. And that's how right. I started. I started a podcast. Yep.
Yeah. And how long ago did you start that Christian in Recovery podcast?
I started that in 2019. Yeah.
So you've been doing that about 3 years now, right? 19, mm-hmm. 3 years. Yeah. Good. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
how often are you putting out episodes for the listeners?
Oh, I'm putting them out there at least once a month. I'm trying to do it twice a month with my coaching or my work getting involved, but I at least put one out once a month. And and I've been helping a lot of people. People email me. I just had a lady just the other day leave me a voicemail. I got it connected to Pod Page too, and you can leave voicemail. And mm-hmm. she left me a voicemail, and it really touched me. She said, I've been trying to get clean for 37 years. She said, listen to your podcast. I actually think I can do it. And she
sure.
said, your podcast have saved my life.
Nice. And, that's beautiful.
And that's why I do it. That's why I do it. Some people can't relate, and that's okay. Some people question. You're going to have all them type, but I know my heart is in the right place. I know God reads the heart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. It's interesting we're having this conversation because another thing I mentioned in the podcast is I say that we have to, at some point, take responsibility for our addiction and realize what we're doing. Because not only are you hurting yourself when you're addicted, and especially an out-of-control addiction with substance abuse, but you're also hurting other people that are around you because it's selfish, these out-of-control addictions. It's a very selfish act. It's a selfish act to yourself, people around you. It's a selfish act to God. If you've accepted Jesus Christ and you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit, it's selfish. You have to be responsible for that. And I'm a little harsh. I had a couple episodes early on. One was called Addiction Sin. And I mentioned that. And I mentioned that addiction leads to a multitude of sins. And there's only one answer for sin, and that's repentance. It's going back to the cross and asking Jesus Christ for forgiveness. So are we sinners? Yeah, absolutely. Are we going to fall short of the mark? Absolutely. Do we need Jesus Christ all the time? Absolutely, 100%. It's just that's how it is. And we make that part of our life. And we stay tethered to the Bible. I use the word tethered where you're to the Bible and to the word, and you apply it. And again, my mantra is I'm not broken, I'm shattered. And I come off a little harsh, I think, in some of those episodes where people are like, whoa, it's being judgmental. It's not that. It's like when you take a Band-Aid off someone, it's going to hurt for a minute. But once it's off and the wound is healed, then you move forward. And hence, that's the name 99 Relapses. I'm sure a lot of people who listen to that and see that can relate to relapsing multiple times.
Yeah.
But there's hope, and that hope is through Jesus Christ. And that reminds me of that verse where Paul talks about struggling with sin in Romans 7, where he talks about his struggling with sin. It's Paul's struggle with sin. A lot of that, a lot of this, a lot of the interviews I have with people and all of us who have been down the road of addiction with out of control addiction can relate to that.
Yeah. It's a battle. It's an internal battle. And it don't go nowhere. But we have to continue to stay, like you said, keep God first. Stay, like you say, I'm the vine. You stay, you can't do nothing apart from me.
Exactly. So, to the listeners and the viewers of the 99 Relapses podcast, what advice can you give them as far as what you've been through, what you're doing, and how to move forward with their addiction and recovery?
First, you have to realize is that you mentioned this, is that you can't do it by yourself. You can't do this. You need some type, and it don't have to be 12 steps. That's just what I just believe in. You don't just, you can like me, I tried church by itself. I kept using recovery by itself. I kept you. So I do church and I do recovery. Hey, I'm playing now. But that's what works for me. Some people do different programs, but you have to find out what works for you. Yeah. And most importantly, my higher power is Jesus. You know, but when recovery, we say a higher power, you out of your understanding. As long as he's loving and caring, find you some type of power that's greater than yourself. You know, it could be a group. Somebody you listen to. You got to get outside yourself. And most importantly, just be patient. That's one of the biggest things, too, that everybody, especially if you use like I use and I lost everything, you want everything back. But it's a process.
It
just
is.
Get yourself break. And most importantly, if you pick up, never, ever give up. That's the biggest thing. No matter what, you just don't give up. Wife leave me, don't give up. I lost my job, don't give up. My kids don't want to speak to me never again. Don't give up. No matter what, never stop trying to get off drugs or whatever your addiction is. Just continue, never give up.
Yeah, Yeah. It's interesting, too. You mentioned 12 steps and you mentioned churches and mentioned even higher power. And I can remember before I was saved, I had owned a medical clinic for 24 years. And there was a time when we were helping patients in that clinic. And this is, again, before I was saved, who were addicted to heroin and pain medication, opiate pain medication. And we were trying to get them off the opiates, the pain pills or the heroin, using a medication called Suboxone at that time. And I can remember coaching and counseling some clients who had been through the 12-step programs, you know, AA programs. And I think they're a good start for some people. The problem I have, and I emphasize this a lot too in past podcast episodes, is it's this higher power thing. They always revert to this higher power. So I would get patients at that time that would come to the clinic getting through the NAAA programs and say things like, well, I went through this NA or AA program and it's a higher power. And now I believe in Buddha or I believe in whatever, some higher power. And they were on the fence with faith in general and thinking to myself, and I wasn't even saved back then. I'm thinking it's the answer is Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only, because he even says it. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets to the Father except through me. And I think, again, it gets back to when you're going through addiction and you're going through, let's say, a faith-based program, and I say Christian faith-based program, it's got to be built on a solid foundation with the Gospels of Jesus Christ and with repentance. It can't waver on feeling with the music, lights, and all that. It's got to truly come from the Gospels of Jesus Christ. It's got to come from repentance. It's got to come from the cross and the blood that was shed at Calvary. I think it's so important because I see a lot of churches in this day and age compromising, and all they want are warm bodies, and they're not really preaching the truth. They're preaching everything based on feeling. And feelings come and go. I think it's important, like I say, to preach the Gospels of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And especially when it comes to addiction and recovery. And it's, and especially when people are turning for help. Because we're in a day and age now, we're in a time as you pretty much come from the same generation. And a lot of things have changed over the years where we're starting to see where, especially with COVID, what happened to the churches. The churches that were built on sand started to crumble, and the ones that stood strong and stuck to their guns and stuck to the Gospels of Jesus Christ are still in existence. So when we coach people through addiction and recovery, I think it's important that we emphasize a strong Bible-based church based on the Gospels of Jesus Christ. Don't you agree?
Somewhat. That's why I say that. Because when I listen, the guys that started AA, Bob, and the guys started that, he said, because they, and I did my homework on it, we can talk about it later, that really the 12 steps was, they got it from the Bible, okay? They got those 12 steps. He was in the hospital, and he came up with it. But what happened was, a lot of people wasn't trying to hear about Jesus, okay? And what he wanted to do, he wanted to help people with drinking. So he said, we got to come up with something, because I don't want them to be afraid. I want to help them stop drinking. But if they don't believe in Jesus, that's okay. And that's where it came from. Because I coach people, and you know, people I coach, they're not Christians. And they tell me, hey, look, man, I don't, you know, you'll say that Christian recovery, that's your, I said, man, look, man, you're trying to get help. I'm here to help you. I'm not here to judge you. So my take on that, right? And that's just where I, because like I say, I know the Lord, because I believe in, but I don't throw my belief on the next. I can help you without you believing in and what I believe in. You know, if you come to him, you know, that way, but I'm not going to force it on you, nothing like that. But yeah, that's how that came about. They was a Christian. And I share some of the stuff with you because they go way back. That 12 step, it go way before AA. You do your homework on it. It's really biblical based.
Yeah, I think a better program than the NAAA and 12-step programs is called Celebration for Recovery.
Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah, that's much better because it's right in lines with Jesus Christ. Right. It's right in with Christianity. And again, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one gets right. to the Father except through me. So there was no exceptions to that. There's no like, teetering on. We can't be sitting on the fence, and we have to proclaim our faith and the Gospels and the beauty of that and the recovery process through that. Because there's so many elements of the recovery process in the Bible. The prodigal son, the parable of the lost sheep, all struggling with sin because it is sin. There's so much scripture in the Bible that we don't have to stray, not even for 1 second, away from the Bible when it comes to addiction and recovery. Because everything that's in there has to do with brokenness, sin, right. recovery.
And that's what I always say. I say everybody recovered from something. And the Bible, to me, is speaking recovery. When I read the Bible, I think recovery. That's all right. I see through it. You know, when Adam and Eve first sinned, what did they went hiding. And the Bible talked about God went looking for them. He trying to recover them. But he said, told Moses, tell them, let my people go. He trying to recover them. He sent why he sent Jesus to recover his people back. So the whole Bible to me is about recovery. But then again, like I said, you know, I understand what when people, a lot of people just don't, like a lot of people, Christians, I know some Christians stand where you stand at. And there are some people who don't want to do with Jesus because of their upbringing or whatever, you know, and, you know those people need help too. But it's just one of those type of things.
Yeah. This is the conversation I even had with Paul a few weeks ago, who had mentioned your name. And this is what led me to you is we were talking about baby steps when it comes to getting through addiction and recovery through faith. And what we have to do as Christians is we have to set a good example for people and not judge, but at the same time, let them know that the word is the word. It's going to get them through those struggles. But anyway, it's amazing.
The name of Vernon's website is thatchristianinrecovery.com. It's also the name of the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the 99 Relapses podcast, Vernon. It's a blessing to have you on, and I hope to have you on again. Again, it's Vernon Lane, and the website is thatchristianinrecovery.com. That's the name of the podcast as well as the website. And Vernon is definitely doing God's work. There's no question about it. And thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the 99 Relapses podcast. I really appreciate it.
For having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much, and you have a blessed day. Thanks.
You too. Thanks, John.
Thanks for listening to the 99 Relapses podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. If you want to learn more, visit 99relapses.org. There, you can tap into information and resources like articles, videos, previous podcast episodes, a bookstore, and free downloadable recovery tools and exercises. You can even reach out to us via email. Just visit 99relapses.org.